Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for another day that he has made. I am rejoicing and glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be a child of the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Grateful that God woke us up this morning. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. So, Lord God, I thank you for Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
I'm doing great. Temperature is 30. Going to get up to 48.
A little chilly because yesterday it was supposed to be warmer, and I was cold. I was freezing. I'm just letting you know, it was a little chilly for me. But I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed. You know, the only thing is that my grandson is visiting, but he didn't have a jacket, and I was having a freak-out moment because I couldn't find him another coat. So he's going to be layered up today. Sweatshirts, undershirts, all type of shirts. He's going to be layered up because, you know, it is, you know, he's getting ready to go on vacation to Florida. And I just don't want my baby getting sick. As we know, weather changes to go from real cold to real hot can mess a person up. So I'm hoping and praying that he'll get through today and tomorrow, and then he'll be better and be on his way on a plane. He's a flying baby. Since he was very, very small, just months old, actually, he's been flying. So he's been flying a long time. One of the kids at church said, "You are not afraid to get on a plane." He's not. I got a picture of him. We think he was probably about 2 or 3 years old with his little luggage, and it was the cutest thing. But we had to travel with a car seat and all kinds of stuff. We had all kinds of things. But he was just as cool and calm as a cucumber with his little child-sized luggage. So he's used to it. He's even got his own Mother Valerie. He's got his own neck pillow for the plane. So he's prepared. And, you know, of course, his sisters are very well traveled. They've been all over the place on the plane. So they all know what to do. They even got blankets and everything just for plane travel. So they are all equipped and all ready to go. But we are also equipped and ready to go, Mother Valerie. So, Mother Valerie, let's take it to the throne in the Word of God. And we do have a word from Sister Carolyn, and I do have a prayer for this morning. And I will come forth with a prayer, and then I will be turning it over to Mother Valerie in the Word of God. And the word that God gave us for this morning in our 365 days of prayer is surrendered mind. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:6, NRSV. You are the Lord over every one of my days. Today, as I set my mind on you, let my thoughts be filled with your light and peace. I offer you the screen of my mind. I surrender my thoughts to you, asking that your spirit would fill them with the fruit that only you give. When I walk into chaotic situations, may your perfect peace keep my mind steady. When I encounter others who are burdened by fear and shame, may the light of your love keep faith's flame ablaze in me. What does it matter if I lay down my life for you, but keep my thoughts as my own without submission to you? I know the best changes are those that happen from the inside out. I offer you my mind. When my thoughts start jumping to things that are neither helpful nor beneficial, redirect them. Help me to remember that your way of life reach to every part. You can have it all, Lord. And the question is, how often do you notice the nature of what your thoughts reflect? A lot of times we don't, but we know we need to give it over to God. And our word today is prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Make his path straight. As a word told by John the Baptist as he was getting ready. We have been studying John since we came into Luke the 1 when his father was the priest in charge and lost his way, could not speak, was mute for 9 months until that baby came. And when everybody was pretty much jumping on his wife that the baby needed to be named Zacharias, he said, his name is John. Wrote it on a piece of paper. And once he wrote it on that piece of paper, God gave him his voice back. And he was able to speak it. His name is John. And John had a purpose. John had a calling on his life. He was to prepare the way for the Lord and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was to make his path straight. He was to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He baptized the Son in his own name. And when he came up, whew, just like he got up with all power on resurrection day, he got up out of the water and the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. We want to be pleasing to our Father too. We want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mother Valerie, take us to the throne and to the word.
Father God, thank you again for another day. This is the day that you made. We shall rejoice and be glad in. Father, we are grateful. We say hallelujah. Just thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for all that you will do, have done, and will continue to do. Lord, we just give you praise. We're just grateful. We are totally, totally grateful. Bless all your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, he got up. He got up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of Deuteronomy 15 and 1, 16 and 22. God is just a good God. He's good all the time, not just sometimes. He's good all the time. He's good in the rain. He's good in the storms. God is good all the time. This is the title was Prepare the Way of the Lord and Make His Path Straight. Prepare the way of the Lord. That was given to John the Baptist, that he was to prepare the way of the Lord. What, given to John, you know, I guess that was just a privilege, an honor given to John. That's beautiful when God honors you like that to prepare the way of the Lord, make his pathway straight. It said at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debt. And this is the form of release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He should not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner, you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land, which the Lord, your God, is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord, your God. I mean, you have to obey. And obey, again, obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All through the Old Testament, New Testament, you have to obey. You have to do it exactly the way God wants you to do it, with the tithes, with everything. He wants you to obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations. Isn't that beautiful? To be able to lend to many nations. America is a blessed country to begin with, because God is here. And it said, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not fall. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there are among you a poor man of your brother within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever he needs. Beware, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the 7 year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother. You give him nothing. He cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because of this thing, your Lord, the Lord your God, will bless you in all your works and all that you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. If your brother, a Hebrew man, or Hebrew woman is sold to you and serves you 7 years, then in the 7 year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you should not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press, from what the Lord your God has blessed you with. You should give to him. You shall remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you should take an owl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he should be your servant forever. Also, to your female servant, you should do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. All the firstborn males that come from your herd, your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God, year by year, in the place which the Lord chooses. But if there is a defect in it, if it is lame or blind, or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You may eat it within your gates. The unclean and the clean person alike may eat it as if it was a gazelle or a deer. Only you should not eat its blood. Pour it on the ground like water. He's talking about that blood. You tell you don't eat the blood. And a lot of people like to get steak and have that blood. I don't get it. You know, I never understand this. They have that blood running, and they just suck up the blood and the steak, and they eat it. But God said, only you shall not eat its blood. You should pour it on the ground like water. And we talked about that over and over again yesterday. Life's lesson, Deuteronomy 15:11. The poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother. Both Moses and Jesus told us that the poor will always live among us. See Matthew 26:11. As a children of a God who loves to give, the Lord instructs us and encourages us to give generously to the poor. He blesses us so that we might bless others. Therefore, we are always to remain generous. You know, really, it makes your heart good, makes your heart feel good when you are able. You're the one that got the money. You're the big cheese on the block. You got plenty of money. And when somebody comes and asks you for something, if you give generously and don't go boasting about what you have given, God will bless you. And it's just a privilege. It's an honor to be able to give to people. And that's beautiful. I mean, Pastor Bridget is one of those faith persons. She's one of those givers. She's always giving, giving, giving. And she gives generously, and she don't boast about, you know, that the Lord has blessed her tremendously to be able to be a big-time giver. She don't even boast about it, but we all know it. God has truly blessed this young lady, and we're thankful for it. We're not envious of it. She's blessed of the Lord and highly favored. So God is just a good God. Chapter 16. Observe the month of Obed and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For the month of Obed, the Lord your God, brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. You may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. No leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. For 7 days nor shall any of the meat which you sacrificed the first day at twilight remains overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place where the Lord your God chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tent. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the 7th day there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. That unleavened bread is, you don't put no yeast in the bread, so it'll rise. And the 7th day, you shall do no work on it. That's the Sabbath. Don't work on the Sabbath. You know, it looks like people wouldn't want to work on the 7th day because they are so busy going here, going there, doing this, doing that. They always find something to do. But it looks like on the Sabbath, you would want to rest. And just rest your tired little body and do nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Just maybe read or watch a program or go for a walk warm enough and do nothing. A lot of times here where I live, if it's cold outside, we walk up and down the hallways, down the steps and back again. So on the Sabbath, you still do no work on it. You know, within teaching and all through the Bible, we've been teaching about the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath. God still have given his commandments. Honor the Sabbath. Don't do no work on it. And when you do work on it, well, you're going to have to confess that you didn't do the right thing.
You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the feast of the weeks to the Lord your God, with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, male servant and your female servant, Levite who is within your gates, stranger, and all the followers and the widow who are among you at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you are a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. God tells you to be careful, to obey, to be very, very careful, do what I command you to do. If I tell you to go to the left, don't go to the right. But you know, the Israelites were a rebellious and a stiff-necked people, and God still honored them. He still honored them. He forgave them for the things that they did. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, strangers and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hand, so that you surely rejoice. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. For every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You shall appoint judges, officers, and all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to the tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality or take a bribe. Yeah, and, you know, like to the rich people, and they want to show partiality. And then to the poor, that's crazy. They want to make them pay more sometimes. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You should not plant for yourself any tree as a wooden image near the altar which you build for yourself to the Lord your God. You should not set up a sacred pillar which the Lord your God hates. He just hates it. He hates it. Life lesson. Deuteronomy 16:17. Every man should give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord. You know, sometimes my niece Carolyn, when she see I don't have anything to give, then she said, well, here, auntie, take this, you know, and give. I said, no. Every man should give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord. If I don't have anything to give, I make sure that she don't give me something to give, because if I'm not able, that's what it says, to give as he is able. In both the Old and New Testaments, God instructs his people to give back to the Lord a proportionate amount as he has blessed them. You see 2 Corinthians 8:12. And no one ever, it said no one ever outgives God. You can outgive God no matter how you try. The more you give to him, the more he gives to you. You can't outgive God. And you know, God is a generous giver. And when you start to give, if you don't give your tithe and offering with a generous heart, he don't even want it. You know, he said, keep it. God don't need your tithe and your offering. You can't outgive God. And if you don't want to give, you don't have to give. Keep it to yourself. I mean, the more you give, the more he'll give to you. It's just a system that he set up to see if you are willingly, if you have a willing heart to give, then give. That's just like that little poor lady, poor little old lady. day two mites. And all the people that had lots and lots of money, they generously, but God recognized that poor little widow with her two bull mites than he did anybody else. He said she have given more because she gave out of her heart. And she didn't have, you know, no more to give than that. And she gave what she could do. She did what she could do. So make sure when you're giving your tithes and an offering, leap up and jump. Give generously to the Lord. Because the more you give to him, the more he gives to you. God is a good God. Turning this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. God is a good God. And he gives us what we need and when we need it. I'm trusting him for so many things in my life, for my children. In the name of Jesus, I'm believing. And I'm trusting God for it. And he will put you in position to help your children. I believe that as well. And while we're talking about it, I want to give a shout out to my granddaughter, who was high honor roll for the third year in school. And she has very high classes, AP classes, and I'm very proud of her, thanking God for it. You know, this little girl is my heart, and she already knows it. Just saying, she's going to always be special to me. You know, as she has told me, I am her grandmother. And, you know, don't even play about it. And so I don't. I am her grandmother. And I am very privileged and honored to be her grandmother. And to know that I love her. And I know she knows I love her to pieces. And I'm very proud of her. God is so good. You know, when you can shout out to your grandchild when your grandchild is with you, listening to your show. So thanking God for my granddaughter, Kate Lynn. Want to make sure we have it right because there's a Kate Lynn. Mine is Kate Lynn. And I just call her Kit Kat, but she might get mad at me for letting y'all know it. But anyway, I love this kid. So, and thankful for it. I always laugh because at one time I was taller than her. But that day is gone and it won't come back. And now I'm dealing with my little grandson, and I think that he is going to be taller than me very shortly, too, and he's only six. So it's kind of depressing, Mother, to find out that you are the shortest person in the family. It's like, what? I thought I was tall. Well, I'm tall in heart, Mother, tall in heart. So, Mother Valerie, great word that you have given us this morning. And hopefully you can hear me clearly as we move forward in the Word of God in our Psalms.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
In our Psalm this morning, we are coming out of the 37th Psalm, verses 30 through 36, Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, and I will be in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 38, which is where our title comes from. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. God is good. Jesus came for us. And every time as we go through this Holy Wednesday, don't forget who brought you to the dance, as they say, who took your sins to the cross. You know, we were singing a song last night, and it just hit my spirit that I couldn't sing. Because when you stop and you think about the fact God is absolute, he is absolute, and we worship him. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. That song does something to my spirit. Pretty much any William McDowell song does something to my spirit. As I've heard his testimony, this awesome young man, one was trained by one of my classmates who is now prophet. Shout out to prophetess Melissa Brown, evangelist and prophetess Melissa Brown. who taught him to play piano. She was a piano teacher. And as well as phenomenal. She was my choir teacher, and we were the same age, but she was so wise and wisdom that I was able to sing with her little high school group called the Gospelaires, and we thought we were pretty awesome. We had our little dresses like Diana Ross and the Supremes. And so could nobody tell us that we were not just the best thing out there at Paducah Tillman High School. But God is good. And I learned a lot from this woman. And I still listen to her on Facebook. So if you are ever looking for a word from God through music, through evangelism, look up Prophetess Melissa Brown and listen to William McDowell. If you have a chance, go on YouTube and listen to his concert and his testimony that even the young can change lives. When he got out from home from being a PK, he got to college and thought he was going to go party and got to some club and somebody at the door looked at him and said, "You don't belong here." And from that point, he has not been there again. He went in and took over the college choir and has been going forth ever since. What a mighty God we serve. Prepare the way of the Lord. He will make our path straight. He's going to make our path straight. You know, even though John was making his path straight, he made our path straight. And as the word of God says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie is a woman of wisdom. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Mother Valerie was speaking of that in her word this morning. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall lie. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Could not be found. Don't ever think that wicked folks are going to get away with their wickedness forever. Because God does not play. He will show you who they are. He will tell you who they are. And if you choose to follow after the wicked, even though they may hawk a Bible and tell you to buy it, but if they are wicked, God is going to burn that Bible in their hands because they are not right. God sees everything. He sees grifters. He sees those that are not right with God. They lie. They cheat. And when you look and you're like, well, justice ever for them? Understand, we don't have to worry about man's justice because we know that God always prevails. Don't ever think you can outdo God in any way, in giving and in justice. God is always in charge. And the word of God that Dr. Stanley said, what the Bible says about God's schedule. We want God to just do it now, God. Show up and show out right now, God. God is going to do what God's going to do in God's time, on his schedule, not on ours. And this is the thing that Dr. Stanley asked him. And for those who say, why is she quoting Dr. Charles Stanley? Because we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I will say it again, get this Bible for your biblical arsenal. We need to get as many Bibles in our hand as possible because we don't know one day there will be somebody who will try to ban it because it has, oh my God, it has some things it says, and he went into her, that we can't let our children see that, so we need to ban it. Understand, if they can ban that are out there that are nothing more than history, imagine they will try to ban his story. You better understand. People that like to go in and look and try to claim something, you know, think about it. When Phineas shot the arrow, when he picked up that javelin and hit those wicked Israelites and his woman from the Moabites. You better understand. Miss Cosby died attached. And that would be somebody. Because they were attached because they was doing some stuff. Right in the tent, in the middle of the group. After God had said, don't get going to these women. And this person thought they was tough enough. They could do whatever they wanted to. And they lost their life for it. We better understand that everybody who thinks they can outdo God, you better understand God will show you who he is. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Everything is in God's time and God's schedule. Do you feel as if things are not going the way you planned? As if God is on a completely different schedule than you are? Well, you probably is. Remember that God's master plan is to develop a loving personal relationship with you. Though life will often bring you pain, suffering, and development, you would not choose. You can always be confident that God finds a way to use everything for your good. God is developing you into a mature believer, and that includes showing you how to wait patiently for him. So why should you trust God's timing? Here are some excellent reasons. God's schedule is best for you because he is all-knowing. God is aware of every detail of your life, past, present, or future. He's also aware of what you will need for challenges ahead. God's knowledge is complete. Therefore, since God is aware of things that you have no way of knowing and is providing for things you don't even realize you need, you should trust his timing. Come on now. We should trust God's timing. You know, you can look at your budget and say, Lord, you know I'm going to be short. And God said, I'll make a way. I believe that. God will make a way out of no way, because that's just how he works. I'm trusting you, Lord. I needed a chimney, and God gave it to me. Come on now. Don't tell me what God can't do. Every time I think about the goodness of God, I look up at that chimney and say, Lord, thank you. I know that you can make a way out of no way. That's why I help others, because I know what it was like when I didn't have and God made a way for me. God is good. Chapter number 2, God's schedule is best for you because he is all wise. It is foolish to think that anyone knows the absolute best thing to do in every situation, because everyone makes mistakes. Of course, you probably already realize that you make your decisions based upon an imperfect perception of the future. God's wisdom, on the other hand, is infinite. You are infinite and perfect. Though your heart can lie to you, come on now, he never will. God does not lie. He is not a man. The Father will take his time teaching you all that you need to know through his Holy Spirit who lives within you. Number 3, God's schedule is best for you because he is all-loving. The most important reason to live by God's schedule is the simple fact that he loves you and wants what's best for you. His schedule is built around a wonderful future of godly maturity and fellowship with him. Time is simply one of the tools he uses to teach you, train you, and mold you. His love reaches to the teeniest details of your life, uses every experience for your best, and is absolutely unconditional. The rewards of learning to live by God's time are infinite. You have a new peace and assurance because you no longer try to make time serve your own end. You have renewed strength so that you can run and not be weary and walk without fainting. And you learn to trust him more because you see God redeeming your time and working through you powerfully. Therefore, realize that you're not sufficient within yourself, that you must live by God's timing because you know that yours won't work. Trust God completely, knowing you're in his care, and be patient. Be patient. I'm going to say it again. Be patient. And one for the Holy Spirit. Be patient no matter what happens. And finally, have the courage and self-discipline to wait upon God. Isaiah 64:4 tells us, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, not perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. Are you living on God's timetable or your own? Always remember that the wisest thing you can do is wait upon God. Are you waiting this morning? And as we go into our proverb today, it says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Come on now. A truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Understand, lies eventually catch up to you because you start forgetting what lie you told. And as we go into Luke chapter 3, it says, now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, Caesar Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria, and the region of Tetrarchitis and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Oh, I love John. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough way smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitudes that come out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We don't want to be thrown into the fire. Come on now. Hallelujah. Lord, give me good fruit. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. Come on now. And he who has food, let him do likewise. We got to give to those that don't have. You know, so many times we want to hold on. I'm holding on to this because I might need it. I'm holding on to that because I might need it. I'm holding on to the other because I might need it. Now, again, you know that you are now a size 12. And it is pretty illogical that you are going to be a size 2. I'm sorry. You're not going to be a size 2. So you can give them size 2s away. It's time to let go. And again, if you got arthritis, you can't wear them high, high heels. You need to what? give them away. And again, you're a 12, and you cannot be a 2. Give that size 2 away. We got to learn how to give some things away. You know, you can be a healthy size 12, and you might become a size 8, but don't try to be a size 2, because it really don't look good on you. You know, we got to stop. We got to get ourselves in order and know that we got to trust God. And as John told us, give away some things. If you got a closet full of food, you got a utility room full of food, you got a freezer full of food, that you are throwing away food because you didn't eat it in a timely manner, it's time to give it away. Give it to somebody that needs it. If you got lunch in your lunchbox and you know you didn't eat it and you're not going to eat it, why don't you give it to that homeless person with the sign that says, I'm hungry. Take out that extra bottle of water. Take out that bag of chips and that sandwich that you have in your lunchbox that you know you're not going to eat because you're going out to eat. Give it to somebody that needs it. And don't worry about who may be with you in your car. If they looking at you crazy like, what did you just do? You know they are drug addicts. You know they are this. Drug addicts get hungry too. Homeless people are hungry. And if you have it, give it to them. You know, Mother Valerie and I and our pastor and our deacons have been going to a homeless shelter to minister on Wednesday nights. And I can tell you, it is the greatest thing that I've ever done to be with my pastor and watch her minister to people who may not have been ministered to before, may be in the situation that they're in because nobody's ever told them about a man named Jesus. And she is magnificent. And I am so grateful, Mother Valerie, that we are able to support her. What a mighty God we serve to take food, to feed their body, and to take food, the word of God, to feed their soul. And that is one of our edits as ministers and pastors and teachers and preachers and the fivefold ministry is to feed the body and feed the soul. That's what God is wanting from us. She comes on every now and again, Evangelist Shannon. This is a woman that has been in situations where she did not have, but she always made a way. God made a way through her to feed the homeless. She would make sandwiches and have hygiene products and do all these things for the homeless in our pathway to healing. So if you want to donate to somebody who gives to others, donate to Pathway to Healing, $ Pathway to Healing on Cash App, Sandra Shannon. You will not be giving your money away. It will be used to help others. That's how she is. And as we go to our next word, in our verse number 12 of Luke chapter 3, it tells him, then tax collector also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Come on now. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Be content with your wages. In other words, they were scamming folks. And he said, stop it. Now the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. So Herod put John in prison. And we know what happened. Herodias had a daughter dance for her husband. He got all hot and bothered and had told her he'd give her half of his kingdom and anything that she wanted. And her mama told her, get the head of John the Baptist. And that's what they did, beheaded John. Beheaded him. Paul also was beheaded. Peter, upside down, crucifixion. Understand, God sees everything. John was not afraid. And he said, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Hela, the son of Matthai, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jana, the son of Joseph, the son of Mathaniah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Eslai, the son of Negan, the son of Mate, the son of Mathaniah, the son of Shimon, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Jonas, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shetai, the son of Mirah, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Hosea, the son of Elijah, the son of Joram, the son of Methah, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonah, the son of Elkim, the son of Melech, the son of Menon, the son of Matthias, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Solomon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Cherub, the son of Ruth, the son of Belial, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Ephazab, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The son of God. Who is this man? He is the son of God. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Dr. Luke gave a lesson on genealogy. Who do you belong to? I am the son of God. Hallelujah. And as we go into Luke chapter 3:11, life lesson. He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who is food, let him do likewise. An intimate relationship with God is about far more than enjoying warm feelings toward the creator of the universe. And genuine love of God moves a person to real acts of love toward the other. 1 John 3:17. In Luke 3:14, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. John the Baptist did not advise soldiers to go into another profession. He did, however, instruct them to act justly and mercifully with those under their authority. And my husband, my late husband, was a soldier. He was an officer and a gentleman. I just call it like he was. He was an officer in the Army. He was a lieutenant colonel. He was on his job. He was a state trooper, and he was a sergeant. And he made sure that everything he did it decent and in order. He loved God like that, and he loved his family like that. And he did what he did, tried to always have integrity, because he had service and he had pride in what he did. You know, he was a little preacher man, even though he didn't want to go into the ministry. But God had called him, and he just wasn't ready. So God took him home. And I always laugh. I said, God took him home because he needed another trumpet player in heaven's choir, because he played every kind of instrument you can imagine. He played the clarinet and every kind of saxophone. He played the trumpet and the cornet, and then he played trombone and tried to play the piano, and he wrote music. He was a music man, and he loved God. And I always laugh. He's up there in heaven right now trying to tell somebody, okay, St. Peter, when do you want me to blow this trumpet? You know, when he was in college, one of his friends, who's a friend of mine, she was said she was sleeping good, and all of a sudden she heard this trumpet. Said, I fell out of bed because I thought St. Peter had come, because he was out there blowing that trumpet. And then she said, oh, shoot, it ain't nobody but Jeff, you know, because that's what he did. You know, we would all be sleeping good in our house, and all of a sudden that trumpet started blowing. And you'd say, oh, my, you know, you did have a moment, you know, to say, okay, is Jesus coming back? Is that the trumpet sound? And you kind of wake up, set up. Make sure your everything was in order, because you was like, whoa, all right. And then you hear all of a sudden it would be reveille. And then you hear him say, it's time to get up. You know, I was just giving a look, the stink eye, that I get up, because I thought it was kind of funny, actually, because we do it mostly for our sermons. But I would normally be up anyway, but he was still, you know, that trumpet. You just never know when the trumpet sounds. So I always laugh. I say he is up there getting ready right now to bring back that trumpet and let it go. Hallelujah. Waking us all up. In Luke chapter 3:23, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. Jesus spent 3 decades preparing Jesus for his, God spent 3 decades preparing Jesus for his ministry, most of it in almost total obscurity. Anyone whom God uses greatly, he first puts them through a period of preparation. And I say that is quite true. And time has gone out for us, but I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And that word is this: good morning. Some people will never be happy with their decisions. Try to decipher whether it's people you want to please or is it God. Have yourself a wisdom salt Wednesday. Hallelujah. What a word to run back. Some people will never be happy with your decision. Try to decipher whether it's people you want to please or is it God. Have yourself a wisdom salt Wednesday as we prepare the way.
Amen.
Wrap this morning. What a great word. Thank you for everything you do. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God's light shine upon you. May he give you peace. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and Lord. And I do have one church announcement before we leave. There will be a Saturday blog this week. I will be blogging on Saturday, on the Sabbath, there will be a blog because I will be at sunrise service on Easter Sunday, and I will be in service at 7 a.m., and so I will not be able to blog at that time. So there will not be an Easter, but we will have a blog on Saturday. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for all you do. So join me Saturday morning, 7 a.m. It will be Eastern time. Well, it'll still be Central time, but it'll be 8 o'clock where I'll be. So I am going to be out of town. I have a family situation that I need to go and handle. So I will be out of state. So it will not be Central time. I will be on Eastern time, but I will be up at 6 a.m. on Saturday to make sure we vlog at 7. I'll be up at 8, well, 7, 6, whatever. I'll be there. I'll be here Central Standard Time at 7 o'clock. Mother Valley.
Amen.
God knows all this moving forward, moving backwards, springing this and falling there. I'm all confused. So I would just say join me Saturday, 7 a.m. Central Time for moving forward as we on the Sabbath blog. It's not work. It's a word of God, and we are preaching God's word on his Sabbath day. And I'm excited to have a Sabbath word because I don't do it very often, normally at Easter. Or I don't like to say that word either. I say Resurrection Sunday. So on the seventh day, we will be giving out a word of God. I'm not sure if Mother Valerie will be joining me or not, but hopefully she'll be able to come on Saturday at 7 a.m. Central Time. And we are going to take it to the throne on the Sabbath. Thanking God for all of you. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, what is it?
Well, you know it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Thank you, Aunt Rita.